Today's episode of the Four Seasons of Film podcast is brought to you by Phil's Coffee. Phil's specializes in handcrafted coffee made one cup at a time. Visit a location today or find them on the web at philscoffee.com. That's Phil's with a Z, coffee.com. Find the beans you're looking for.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Four Seasons of Film podcast. Andy Pescia here. So Nathan's going to be out for the next few weeks on a project, so we're going to do something a little special. We have guests on the podcast, but for the next three episodes, it's going to be me hosting some filmmakers and people in the industry, and what better way to start with tonight? You've heard him here on the podcast before, filmmaker, director, writer, Jager Moore. Say hey, Jager.
What up?
Yeah, thanks so much for being on the podcast, man.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
Yeah, for sure. I think the last time you were on, it was when you were right before the premiere, or was it after the premiere of your last feature film that you...
Well, it was a second screening.
The second screening. Yeah, okay, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, that's right. That's right, when we did it at the Ream Theater in Orinda, right?
Moraga.
Yeah. Oh, same shit.
Yeah, same thing.
People, if you're not from the Bay Area, they're like, all right,
nobody, it's somewhere in the Moraga. Bay
Area. Yeah, right. It's in the boonies, right? So, yeah, dude, good to have you on here. So, for the people out there, this week, the movie of topic is going to be It Chapter 2. Full transparency, though. I saw the movie today, and Jager, you're not a big fan of horror, the horror genre, are you?
I've seen two horror movies in my whole life, so no.
What was the two?
The Shining and The Witch, and some people wouldn't even call those horror.
No, they're more, they are horror films, but The Shining, I've said it on the podcast a million times, is my favorite movie of all time. So, and The Witch, I remember when that movie came out, we did the podcast. I think like the first or second year the podcast was in its inception, and I remember watching that movie and being blown away. But, you know, it's not like that typical like jump scare. Yeah. I mean, there's some in there, of course. You got to have it for that element, but it's more of a thriller, more psychological.
Dark drama.
And why is that? It's just because you don't like the stupid jump scares and like being startled and all that? Is that why you don't like horror films?
I don't know why I don't like horror films. I've always just been too afraid to watch them when I was a kid, and it kind of just followed me into adulthood, and now I just don't really see the point. I mean, the subject matters are interesting most of the time, but I think it's just me being too lazy to be scared.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy it, and I don't think I enjoy being scared, so that's probably the main reason.
Yeah, I totally get that, too. We have this discussion all the time on the podcast. You know, like, I'm that type of guy. Like, I love going to haunted houses. I love getting the shit scared out of me.
I like it in real life. That's the thing. I like going into haunted houses and doing stuff that's scary in real life, but if I'm in a movie theater, for whatever reason, I just don't like it. I don't know why it doesn't translate, but...
Yeah, because I get what you're saying. It's not the real fear, because you're just sitting there in a safe room dark, you know, just waiting for it.
Well, somebody told me one time that people are so afraid of the dark and all the things like the forest because you watch movies and you associate those movies with real life, and then you become scared of things that you otherwise wouldn't be scared of, like sharks and Jaws. And yeah. I think that's another reason why I never want to watch horror movies, is because I don't want to be needlessly scared of things that I don't need to be scared of.
Yeah.
Like the dark. I never was scared of the dark, and I probably won't be, even if I started watching horror movies, but I don't want to take the chance.
Yeah. And for me, like, I'm weird. Like, I can separate it. Like, so say, like, I'm watching a horror movie and someone's getting killed or hacked up to pieces, or some of the grotesque stuff that's out there. It doesn't bother me. But if I see, like even if, like, somebody, like... Unless it's like fingernail and toenail type stuff, like that shit, I always have to look away, because that's just like, you know, it's so real about that, even if it's fake. But even like all the other stuff, it doesn't bother me. But can I watch like the Surgery Channel and like see somebody get cut open in a surgical way? No, it freaks me the fuck out. If I see blood in real life, I'm like, oh man, I don't like that shit. But it's like, I know it's safe. I know it's, I'm in a safe environment. It's not real, you know, it's just a story, so to speak.
I'm sort of the same way, but. Within reason. I don't like gore either. If it's a horror movie and it's gore, it's usually too gross you out, and yeah. I really not a fan of that. But if it's like a war movie, like Saving Private Ryan, like that stuff doesn't bother me as much. Yeah. But
yeah. Would you ever work on a horror film? Like, you know?
Yeah, because I would know it's not real, and you know, when you work on movies, everything's pretty much ruined for you.
Yeah, right. It'd be the same thing. Yeah, actually, that's why I've always wanted to make a horror film, but I love horror so much that I don't want to make one because I'm like, then it might ruin it for me. I don't know, but I'm, you know me. I'll probably be like, dude, this is awesome. Fucking give me another squib. Mm-hmm. Let's do that again. But I'll fill you in on the movie, right? So this is the second part of the remake of the made-for-TV movie It, based on the Stephen King's novel. So this movie revisits the town of Derry, which the events of the first movie took place when they were children, but now they are adults. Every 27 years, Pennywise the clown comes back, and now they have to go back to the town of Derry to kill the clown to stop him for good, you know? So that's the movie, Jagger. But so it's weird because, like, I really enjoyed the first one of the remake. I even enjoyed the made-for-TV movie. I've seen it a bunch of times. Tim Curry plays Pennywise the Clown in the original made-for-TV movie that came out in 1990, and his performance is, it's Tim Curry. He's fucking nuts, man. I love it. But so this one's a little different. It has, some of the cast of characters. You have James McAvoy, you have Bill Hader, you have Jessica Chastain leading up this movie. And so this movie is exactly like what I thought it was going to be. Like, it was a lot of jump scares. Kind of like that was the MO of the first one. But in this one, like, we were having this discussion off mic, Jager and I. But at least in this movie, they actually kill the kids, right?
Did they not do that in the first one?
No, they did. They did. But This one, it comes back a little bit more. And it's, it's the CG clown. And, you see it's, like, razor sharp. Hundreds of teeth come out and just, like, expand and bite and, like, rip kids into the dark. And
why do people make a big deal out of this movie more so than other horror movies? Is it just because of the property name?
It's one of those movies because it's been such a staple in literature, and they made the made for TV movie that was actually a pretty big success for a TV movie, right? I think everyone doesn't like clowns. We had the whole, like, clown scare a few years ago when people were wearing clown masks.
I feel like that was a marketing thing for this movie.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. even like the movie came out this past Friday, and if you add up, like, September 6th, 2019, it equals 27, which is 27 years for every time Pennywise comes back. In the first movie, whatever, it was 2016, whatever the date was in September, it added up to 27 years. So it might have been a marketing ploy, right, man? They're trying to do it every little way. You know?
Smart. It's definitely really smart.
Yeah, but I think it's the working. Appeal is it's, well, the first movie, you have Stranger Things that came out. So you had
the whole 80s nostalgia thing.
Yeah, 80s nostalgia thing going on. So the first one takes place in 89. And so now this one takes place in 2016 because it's 27 years later. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's because it's a scary thing because, I think it taps into that when you're a kid, you have certain fears. Right. And this clown lives off of fear. I'm not spoiling anything because you've seen the first movie by now or you've seen the second one. So the clown feeds off fear. Right. And so the clown uses that, like, uses what scares you personally to help generate that fear so he can get stronger and then eventually just, have his dinner, which is you.
Right.
So I think that's some of the appeal to it, too. And, it's like it's kind of like. Kind of like the Shining status where, you have certain scenes with that happen in it that. It was monumental. Like you remember when they, when the elevator doors open up in The Shining and you see the blood rushing in. Same thing in here with the bathroom being covered in blood. The adults don't see it, but the kids who believe in Pennywise see it. So I think that's why it appeals to it. And I mean, the star-studded cast, like watching this movie, like the biggest thing was I thought like they casted it perfectly. Like Bill Hader playing Richie, who's kind of like the smart ass character. And now when he's grown up, he plays a stand-up. He is a stand-up comedian, right? That's how he's like a funny kid,
Yeah.
Like his performance was great in this. James McAvoy, Jessica Chastain. It was just weird. Like it was in this movie, I felt like it was just the first half of the movie was way different than the second half. It was 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
Did it just go full jump scare second half?
No. The second half is right when it's kind of gearing up to like the halfway through the second act, third act. Like the second half of the second act and the third act were really good. Like the way this movie was ending and like you see how these people are banding together and the story's coming together. It was kind of heartfelt too at some of the moments, and it really did get I was like, all right, this is a good movie, but you still had an hour and probably like 30 minutes at the beginning where it could have been cut down to 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Because even the original TV movie, I mean, the book itself is 1,100 pages. So there's a lot of shit in it. Like there's tons of stuff that's still in the book that never made it to the big screen, like some graphic stuff like teenage orgies and other things.
Saving that for the third one, probably.
I don't think there's no third one. It's over now, man.
If it makes money.
Yeah, you never know. They'll find out another way and Stephen King will write another sequel. But I don't know, man. It's just weird because I just felt like the writing and pacing was a big issue in this leading up to that point of the second act when we're like gearing for the third act and things to come to a conclusion.
Was it almost like it was written by another person?
No, it wasn't that it was written, but it's just that the way they were giving too much detail for a movie, right? It's right. Like a lot of unnecessary scenes. I think that they were just in there to add more jump scares. Like they had to be like, all right, we want to make this movie scary instead of like the battle scene where it's not as scary because it's more science fiction at that point. You're battling this entity through the caverns, right? It's not so much. So I think that's why they kind of like jammed it in the first half of the movie.
Right.
But speaking of when you mentioned horror movies, have you seen the movie The Thing? Even though it's more of a thriller /
I've seen that
monster pick. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this one, the second half of this movie was kind of like The Thing.
Like it transformed into different.
Well, you know, it transforms into whatever the fear is, like, you know, like an old lady or a person's parent or, you know, some type of demon. But, you know, like the way it was people versus monsters, right? And so that's why I think like for this one, like people that might not like horror films will kind of could gravitate toward this one a little bit more. It's just that, you know, the first half of it, you do have to deal with some jump scares, but you can see them coming a million miles away, right?
Yeah.
You know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so you hear the music get real low. I mean, you know, like all the sound gets pretty much to 0 dB.
You walk into a hallway or something.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, boop, no, you see the little lights and then you're like, all right, I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Done 1,000 times.
Yeah. But, you know, for me, I thought, but the ending of the movie kind of saved it. So like I was looking forward to it. I enjoyed the first one. Like I said, the performances were really good. I just think it suffered a little bit from writing and pacing in the first half. But I mean, Bill Hader and then James Ransom, who play Richie and Eddie, the two, you know, polar opposites, nervous Nelly, who's afraid of everything. And then the smart ass, like their dynamic throughout the whole thing was really good, too. But so like what movies now come? We're coming into the fall season, right? I think fall season has officially maybe started as of this episode.
Is that technically Oscar season?
No, Oscar season. So for us, it's usually, well, it used to be when we first started the podcast, when the Hunger Games movie came out. But it's usually from now until right around Thanksgiving before or after, depending on what the movies come out. And then that's when, you know, you'll have a few Oscar contender movies that they already came out, right? But now we're gearing up to that season. What's some of the movies that you're looking forward to coming up to this like fall / pre-Oscar season that, you know, you're definitely going to want to see?
I want to see 1917 because I like good war movies, but you don't see a lot of World War I movies, and I think that one's going to be really interesting. And the trailers look like they make it look like it's all one shot. I only saw the trailer twice, so
gotcha.
I'm not sure how they shot it.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that one. And The Lighthouse by Robert Eggers is another one. He directed The Witch.
Oh, I love The Witch. So, we were talking about that.
And Robert Pattinson's in it, so I grew to love him ever since I saw A Good Time. I think he's an amazing
actor. That the one where he's like with the brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still I haven't watched it, but I heard great things about that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so you really think, obviously you're...
I think he's a really good actor. I think that he got...
You're Team Edward fan now? You're
Team Edward guy, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm a Team Edward. I get called Edward all the time anyways.
Oh, okay. So you're like, all right, I gotta like him.
Yeah, I gotta.
Yeah, and then what about do you like Ad Astra's coming out in a few weeks?
That's the one with Brad Pitt, right?
Brad Pitt space movie.
Yeah, that one looked. I only saw the trailer once when I was seeing Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but that one looks really good.
Yeah,
I like Brad Pitt. I think he's good in pretty much anything. So I know no matter what, his performance is going to be pretty good. Science fiction is hit or miss with me though.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll live up to the standard.
Yeah.
I didn't like. Some people love The Martian. I didn't particularly like it. But
you didn't like The Martian? I liked it. I grew to like that. It was the second viewing of that I started liking. And I've seen it like four times now.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't like watch it again if I didn't need to.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, for me, science fiction can be hit or miss too. Like, you know, like Gravity, I remember it was visually stunning, but I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
You know, Sandra Bullock up in space, right? Yeah, we're going to be covering Ad Astra in a couple weeks. So I'm kind of looking for that. I'm a big Brad Pitt fan too. So like science fiction could be hit or miss for me, but I still go see it. I'll like anything. My the one I don't like, you have to drag me to, is rom-coms. Like Nate loves fucking rom-coms.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I watch them very often.
But some movies that are coming out that I'm really looking forward to is like The Joker's coming out, the Joaquin Phoenix movie. I've heard nothing but good things, especially I think it did really well at the Venice Film Festival.
I think it won best film there.
Oh, really? Yeah, I knew. I saw the note. I was reading an article and I briefly skimmed over it, but I'm excited to see that. I haven't seen the you've seen the trailer, but you haven't seen the second one yet?
I saw the first trailer, yeah. Because it was in a movie theater. I usually avoid trailers, feel like they spoil too much, but it looks amazing. I'm glad that they took more of an art house way towards it.
Well, that was the whole thing about, like, everyone gave criticism to DC is you have, like, it's like more of the powder puff type of superhero movie.
Suicide Squad and stuff like that, and it's just cringe stuff.
Yeah. And then, like, other movies, like, Zombieland 2 is coming out. Like, I love the first Zombieland.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, combo, what was that? Now you See Me?
I never saw those ones.
They were good. I liked that. You know, I used to do magic when I was a kid. But yeah, putting that aside, like those movies, like the first one I can watch. If it's on, I'll continue to watch it.
I heard the first one was good.
The second one, it tapered off, but you know.
Best magic movie is The Prestige.
Oh yeah, The Prestige, man.
Hands down.
And then you got like the Terminator movie, Dark Fate, that's coming out.
I wouldn't hold my breath for that one.
Yeah,
particularly.
And then like Midway. Speaking of good war films, the Battle of Midway is coming out later on the season.
Okay. I think it's the one I'm thinking of. I don't know if I saw the trailer for that one. It looked kind of cheesy a little bit.
Yeah, but it's like a miniature Pearl Harbor. It's so fucked up to say, but it's like a miniature. It's like,
hopefully,
yeah,
it'll be better than that movie.
I only saw that movie once, and I think I fell asleep to it.
I was a kid when I saw it, so I mean, my opinion. I liked it back then, but I've seen clips of it, so maybe I'm just speaking from other people's opinions when I say it's not a good movie. But I hope that Midway is just at least has good dogfights and naval fights.
Yeah, right.
That's all I could ask for.
Yeah. Good action sequences in between. That's what you want to
probably
see.
Probably have some Patrick unnecessary Wilson. Romance added into it. But what can you do?
You got to. It's love and war, man. Love and hate. Love and hate. It's two flips of the thing. Like, I don't know. It's this. Do you feel like this is a weird year for movies?
I feel like it's been kind of slow.
Yeah.
I haven't really been. Usually, I'm always at the movies at least once a week going, trying to see it. And this year, I've really slowed down. I mean, I feel like I'm only going to the movie theater maybe once a month.
Yeah.
And I'm usually not walking away super satisfied. And the past 3 years before, I was at the movies and I was usually liking them.
Yeah.
Enjoying the movies. And this year, I've just been kind of indifferent towards them. I haven't necessarily not liked a lot of movies this year, but just I feel like it's worse, I guess, if you're indifferent towards them because you don't remember them.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like, I'm thinking back. I mean, fortunately, I get to see it. I see a movie like once a week because of the podcast. But like, even still, like for this year, I just felt like it was just the year of the Avengers going to it, you know, the Marvel universe coming in. And that was like the big thing. But even
Disney, all their stuff, the live action remakes, nobody wants to compete with that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That might be a reason.
Well, and plus, Disney's now a conglomerate that owns everything. So many. I was looking, doing research before the podcast, and I was on IMDb credits, and like there's a new Bill Hader, Anna Kendrick, I want to say, movie. And then it says a Disney, but on the bottom of it, it says Disney plus Pixar plus Marvel plus National Geographic plus. It is like
Disney owns National Geographic.
I didn't know that until I saw the trailer. And it's like available going straight for streaming. So, and that's the thing too. It's like, it's weird because, you know, with all these streaming platforms, I'm like, I really feel like I have no idea what's really going to be nominated this year or what's going to be like. What should be on the radar? What should not be? Like, is it going to be like an indie film push of the type of year?
Are they still doing it where they're not letting, if you still have to have a 10 theater release minimum for Oscars? Is that right?
It was a certain number. Okay. Like, I think 25 or less. Okay. Something like, it's somewhere in between 10 and 25. for it to be, for it used to be, but I don't know. That's like, you know, we were discussing that last year, especially when you're talking about a film like, like Green Book. It was an Amazon Studios film, but it was actually made, you know, it was made for the theater.
Amazon movies are always in theaters.
Yeah. Like, but like some of these Netflix ones, I don't know. It's like, are they going to bend the rules? They're going to change the rules now. And so does that mean like, you know, anybody that pays to have their movie on a streaming platform technically could
be a contender. I want to see The Irishman in a theater.
Oh, me too.
I'd rather see it in a theater. And I wish I would have seen The Ballad of Buster Scruggs in a theater. I mean, I really like that movie, but I think movies are just more enjoyable when you see them.
And like, and that's the natural element in which movies are supposed to be seen, you know? And because, you know, if you put it on at the house, if, you know, the doorbell rings, or you're distracted. It's not like...
You're less inclined to finish it, too.
Yeah, you're like...
I always walk away from movies when I watch them at home. That's why I don't enjoy it as much.
Yeah, right? You're like, oh, shit, I'm hungry now. Let me go make some food.
Yeah, and I never pay for movies when I watch them at home, so it's like I have no dedication towards it.
Yeah, yeah.
And at least when you go to a theater, you have to sit through it most of the time unless it's that bad.
Yeah, unless it's like a film that, like an essentials that I need to do, like, you know, like a monumental film. Like, all right, I'm sitting down and I'm watching this movie because I need to watch this movie.
Right.
You know, it's not like, oh, it just came out, let me put it on and do something like that.
Right.
It's just a weird time for movies, man. And so it's like when you're thinking about when you're making your films and we're making our projects too, and we work on a bunch of projects together. Like, I don't know. Where do you see it like all going? Do you think the theater is going the way of the buffalo?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I think it depends on the movie. I think a lot of like smaller movies will probably not be... I think it's going to be a bigger deal to go to a theater, kind of like going to a play maybe later on, because people won't need to go out to them as much because you can see them anywhere, and maybe it's more profitable to just put them out online, like on Netflix or Amazon. But you still have movies like The Avengers or big blockbusters that are still breaking records around the world.
I feel like that's the only reason why half the theaters are in business now.
Because of big blockbusters?
Big blockbusters like that.
But I mean, if they're breaking records, it still shows that people are going to the theater.
Yeah.
And you can't... I mean, you can still go on torrent sites and watch these movies while they're still in theaters, but most people still pay to see them.
Yeah.
So it shows that I feel like people still support it. And I think theaters will stay no matter what. I don't think it's going to be like Blockbuster where they just disappear and you'll never see one again. I think they'll stay, but... I want my movies to play in theaters.
Yeah, that's why we make films and make different types of media projects, is because you want to see it on the big screen. You want to see it and have that feeling of being in a theater, sitting down in a dark room for 2 hours, and all you got to do is just stare straight ahead and enjoy what's happening.
Most
you
know? People are all about the convenience, though.
Yeah,
nobody really looks at it that way.
Well, that's why in California, all the theaters are switching over to that lounge recliner, like food, beer, wine. So it's like dinner and a show now instead of just going to the theater, which, I mean, depending on the movie, I enjoy it sometimes because I'm like, all right, dude, I'm going to eat some food and I really don't care about people walking in front of me in the movie or going out and grabbing some food or whatever. But still, it's like at the same time, too, it's like now it's people really do treat it like their living room even more so.
Yeah.
You know,
people don't clean up after them stuff.
Oh, it's horrible, man. Horrible, horrible. And then even like today when I was watching it. Chapter 2, the people were fucking talking the whole time, too. It was like, God damn. Dude, it's like, even though we're in a recliner, doesn't mean we're in your living room, right? Theater etiquette, right?
Well, I guess that's an upside of streaming movies, is you know that you're not going to be interrupted by other audience members during it. Because audience members, if you have bad ones, it can really ruin a movie experience.
But if it's a great crowd, it even enhances it.
It enhances it. So you kind of have to compromise sometimes.
Yeah,
because I've seen movies where the energy in the movie theater from the audience made the movie that much better.
Oh yeah,
you remember that experience. You remember going to the theater. You don't just remember seeing the movie.
Yeah,
you remember the whole thing as a.
I remember the one of the first movies once I moved from the East Coast out to California. I saw in theaters was Zombieland, and it was like a Friday night or a Saturday night prime time. And when stuff was going on, people were cheering, hooting, hollering. It was like it was such an experience, you know. But it didn't take away from it. It was like, you know, everyone started clapping when Jesse Eisenberg gets away or something. Like, everyone started clapping. It was fun. I was like, man, I miss that type of experience. And I don't feel like, well, when you see the Avengers movie, it's kind of like that too. People clap, you know, hoot and holler when they see certain characters.
Opening night for sure.
Oh yeah.
I mean, when I saw the first part of Infinity War, I saw it on opening night and the energy was amazing. And I think I enjoyed that Avengers more maybe for that reason.
Yeah.
Because it was so much fun to see it. And I'm not a fan of superhero movies either. So that might really say something about.
So why'd you go see it if you're not a fan? Just because you had because to see it?
I refused to pay for those movies, but somebody bought me a ticket. So I was like, well, you know.
Oh, okay.
I've been going on.
You are easy to bribe, huh? Easy to bribe there.
I didn't have anything else going on.
Yeah.
Plus, I liked the first phase of the Marvel movies. I liked the Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, I did too. I'm the pure, like, I never really got into Thor. I mean, I've seen all these movies multiple times. I've seen every movie multiple times because I do my research.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy comic book movies too. But it's, you know, certain ones, well, but I agree.
One director who consistently has those vibes, and all, no matter when I see his movies, it always has the energy of that crowd, is Quentin Tarantino. And I know people probably said that before a thousand times. He's talked about abundantly. But whenever I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and usually when I went like 3 days after it was released, and usually by the third day, the energy kind of dies down, you know. The hype, yeah, totally. People who really wanted to see it have already seen it, but it still had that energy. And it was a lot of fun. People reacted to everything that was going on, but it wasn't over the top or annoying by any means. And then,
oh, when I saw, during the yeah, home invasion scene, yeah, and it, people, yeah, in my crowd were cheering.
Oh my
when
God,
they, when
yeah,
they, when, you know, when they got what's going on, you know. But
or when they when Hateful Eight first came out, they, mm-hmm, had the road show where they showed it on 35mm
yeah,
theaters,
yeah,
and that was, I mean, that was more of an experience. You paid more money to see it, and it was a. Like four hours.
They actually had an
like
intermission
yeah, and stuff. So it was more of an experience. But that was definitely, I think that if you can keep, if people make movies like that, more people would be more inclined to go to movies. But they do release a lot of stuff that doesn't, most movies don't give you that impression.
Yeah.
And crowds don't react to it that way. So maybe that's why more people don't go to the theater. I don't know.
Yeah, it's well, and also convenience too, because you don't have to get dressed and go out of the house. You can just turn on the TV. Everyone has streaming devices and, or you know, whatever way they get their content. You know,
maybe restaurants have kind of gone in the same way because they have DoorDash now and people don't have to go out to eat anymore.
Oh, you go to, like,
you think about that?
I've been to fast food establishments or restaurants that there are more DoorDashers waiting for food than actual people in the place.
Yeah.
It is nuts. I mean, but that's the thing. WALL-E, man. Did you see the Pixar film WALL-E?
Yep.
Yeah, telling the truth, man. And see, that's like the thing. Terminator, the machines are going to take over, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the first Terminator, not this new one that's coming out.
Everything's about convenience. So, you know, it might seem nice now, but maybe down the line it won't. I like to find the enjoyment out of small things, so that's why I always go to theaters.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch movies.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, I think we... we covered something tonight. We did part of it.
I don't know how much I added.
Well, no, it's fine. No, I just wanted to have you on here because I think it's fine. Because, you know, we work on a lot of projects. You're a filmmaker yourself. And it's always good to just kind of talk a little bit of shop with somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, instead of me just blathering on the microphone talking about, I love horror films. Yay.
Next time I'll see the movie.
Well, I know. It was full transparency. I knew you weren't going to see the movie coming on it. But I just wanted you to come on and hang out. Nate's gone, so I can't do this by myself.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
I mean, I can, but, you know, people don't like that. Yeah. They're like, ah, enough of you. But yeah, thank you so much, Jager Moore, filmmaker, director, writer, coming on. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Appreciate you having me.
Always a pleasure. All right. And make sure to go to fourseasonsoffilm.com to check out all the latest episodes and content. Remember, this is a 3-part special guest. First one with Jager Moore, and then we got a couple more special guests for the next 2 weeks. So stick around. We'll see you next week, and keep film alive.